Hallelujah. As I listened to that song, my mind started to travel back over my life, and all I can say, thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy towards me. I don't know your journey, but when I think about where I've come from and some of the things that I've done, church, I say, God, thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards me. I believe everybody has a story in here that we can say, thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy towards us. Come on, somebody knows what I'm talking about. Thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy towards us. You may even think about last night. God, I'm still here, so thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Point to yourself towards me. You know you haven't always been in the church. You haven't always been righteous. But God, thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards me. See, some people act like they don't know what I'm talking about. But thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy towards me. Some of us should have been dead, but you're here this morning. Thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy towards me. Come on, you all. Let's be real in this place. Somebody should be praising God for his goodness and his mercy towards you.
For your goodness.
Oh, yeah.
And your mercy toward us.
Towards us.
For your goodness.
And your mercy. Yeah.
And your mercy
toward us.
For your goodness,
oh,
and your mercy
toward
us.
For
your goodness, and your mercy
toward
us. Your mercy toward us. For your goodness.
Hey, yes, God.
And your mercy toward us. For your goodness.
Woo.
And your mercy
toward us.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards us, God. God, we thank you for another day of life, God. A rainy day, God, that we have never seen before, Lord God, and we won't see again. So we thank you, God, for this day and for your goodness and your mercy towards us. God, we thank you for forgiving us, Lord, of our mess, of our sins, of our transgressions, truly against you, Lord God. Thank you, God, for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Jesus who decided we were worth saving. So, God, we thank you for that. God, we thank you in advance for the deliverance, the healing that will take place in this place this day, God. We thank you, Lord, for that. God, we thank you for a church home where we can come and be real and leave our burdens behind. God, we thank you for that. God, now I ask in the name of Jesus, if there be anything in me that's not like you, God, that you would strip it away right now in the name of Jesus, that I may stand boldly before your people and share whatever you give to me with them, God. God, I've said yes, and I've said completely yes so long ago, Lord God. So, God, if you give it to me, God, I will stand here and I will share the word that you have for them this day. So now may your Holy Spirit, your spirit, your spirit, your spirit be felt throughout this entire building. We pray that your glory, your presence, Lord God, just show up this day. Heal. Convert. Convict. Deliver. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Let the church say amen. The church say amen. Hallelujah. This is Communion Sunday. And yeah, we're going to talk about Jesus and what Jesus said this morning. So we're going to the Gospel according to Matthew. I just believe God has a word for the church this morning as he is equipping us for service. So when you get to the Gospel of Matthew, if you would go to the 18th chapter, I just believe this word is relevant for us today. As we say, we know a lot. But what do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? So when you get to the 18th chapter, verse 21, I ask that you stand all over the sanctuary as I prepare to read from the NIV Bible, the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. God wants us healed, church. God wants us whole. He's told us a few weeks ago to get rid of some stuff, and he's also told us the traits of a prayer warrior. So God is speaking this morning, and last week he told us not to give up on him, no matter what it looks like. So if you're standing, that means that you are at the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And I will begin to read in the NIV Bible at this time. The 21st verse reads this way. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. God knows what we need, you all. And God loves us so very much that he gives us messages each Sunday for our spiritual growth. God knows. And God wants us whole. And God wants us healed. In order for us to live out our God-given purpose, we must be intentional about this scripture. So our message title this morning is this. God is saying to the church, in order to be whole, in order to be healed, in order to be all that I've called you to be, you must forgive. Very simple, three words, you must forgive. And this is one of those topics that I hear about every single day in ministry. someone telling me about someone they don't like. Somebody has done this to me, and I'm not going to tolerate that, and I'm not going to forgive them. But what does the Word of God say to you if you say you believe God, and if you say you love God? What is God saying to the church, and what is God saying to you? What He's saying to Abundant Life, you must forgive. If you want to be in my will, you must forgive. Last week it said, if you want to be in the will of God, if you want to be blessed, you must follow this word. So God is saying to the church this morning, you must forgive. It is not optional. It is not an option, people of God. You must forgive. You come to me and you tell me about other people and how you're not going to forgive them. God said to the church, if you're part of the believers, you must forgive. You don't have that option. You want God to forgive you? You must forgive others. You don't have that option, people of God. It's not optional. You don't get to choose who you will forgive. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, help me slow down, because I hear it too much in this place. Hallelujah. I hear it too much. The backbiting, the gossip. People of God, if we're going to walk in His will, if we're going to do His will, if we're going to move Abundant Life to higher heights, we must forgive. Yeah, they talked about you. You must forgive. They lied on you. You must forgive them. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord God. Slow it down. But as pastor, I am getting sick and tired. Of Satan tricking our members. Trying to divide us. But see, we know better. Now we have to believe this word that tells us, yeah, you must forgive them. Hallelujah. Let me slow down. Hallelujah. God is saying to our church, it's not enough to speak about forgiveness. It's not enough to read about forgiveness. We must forgive others as our Heavenly Father has forgiven us. So I'm going to try to slow down, because I get so excited about this word. Because see, I believe the word. In that word is power. In that word is healing. In the word is deliverance. In the word is all we need. We just need to apply it to our lives. Why do we make it so complicated? Why do we make our own selves miserable trying to do it our way, when the word is already here for us to tell us how to operate? You must believe it. Why do you make it complicated? My last year at divinity school, we studied forgiveness for an entire semester. And we were wondering, how in the world can you talk about one word for a semester? One of the reasons cited was that unforgiveness is a barrier which separates us from the love of God. It's a barrier that affects your relationship with God. So if you say you love God, you must forgive. See, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but do you love God? If you love God, you must forgive. Yeah, I see you're looking at me, but you must forgive, you all. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Doesn't matter. You must forgive. Pastor, you don't know how much it hurt me. You must forgive. So I'm going to try to slow down, because I just feel like coming on down to the floor, laying hands on everybody and say, come on, you all. You already know what you should do. Why is it so difficult? We want to just walk through this and see what Jesus has to say to us this morning. So God is saying to our church, as I prepare you to represent me here on earth, you must let it go. So whatever your it is, you must let it go. So let's go to our morning scripture written by the disciple Matthew and just reflect on what God has for us. Peter talking to Jesus, chest probably sticking out, feeling proud. How many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? I can see Peter now, chest out. Seven times, Jesus. See, Peter knew that the rabbi said you only had to forgive people three times. So he's feeling holier than thou. I'm going to give my brother seven times to sin against me. See, seven is the number of completion. So he knew he was right on point as he spoke to Jesus. We all are familiar with this passage. And Jesus is thinking, he doesn't have it yet. Lord, let me help him, Father, because he doesn't have it quite yet. Jesus said, not seven times, but 77 times. So, see, other Bible says 70 times seven, whichever. But the point is, you're not to keep any record of how many times you're forgiving your brother. And let's see, your sister, if you want to put it that way. Amen. Jesus put no limit on forgiveness. See, usually this is a hard subject to even begin to preach about, but it's something the church needs, you all. God said we need this because we have prayer warriors praying unto me, but there's some stuff down in there that they need to root out in terms of this forgiveness, so that I will answer their prayers. So for true forgiveness to come, it must come really with the power of the Holy Spirit. It must be an act of love, you all. One commentary, as I begin to read, said the difference between what Jesus said and what Peter said, it's all about the heart and not about the math. Basically, whoever counts has not forgiven it at all. If somebody can say, I forgave you two times, they've never forgiven you because they're still talking about it. See, I've forgiven you three times, but don't come with that again with me. You haven't forgiven yet. The answer to Peter's question was not a matter of number, but of grace. Grace. The Lord's Prayer says this, forgive us our trespasses. And then we go on to say, as we forgive them that trespass against us. See, one of my professors said, people sit in church and lie every Sunday when they say the Lord's Prayer. They know that they're not forgiving others, but yet they want God to forgive them. So this is a time for you to reflect. Don't look at your neighbor or anybody else. You put the mirror in your face. God, help me to be more forgiving. God, if there be anything in me this day, strip it away in the name of Jesus that I may follow your will for my life. Hallelujah. But Jesus go on a little further in the same chapter, and he talks about a certain king. You may know this story. A servant owed this king, it says, more than $12 million or $20 million, and he was unable to pay. So the king said, we're going to sell your wife. We're going to sell your children. We're going to sell everything in order that you may pay me this debt. And the servant fell down before the king. And he said, have compassion on me. And I will repay you. And if you go on to read the story, it tells us of the parable that the king forgave him. And the same gentleman that had received forgiveness, he went to a fellow servant and said, give me the money you owe me. And that servant fell down before him and said, give me a little time. Give me time. Forgive me. Give me a little time to pay you back. But the Bible says that this servant laid hands on him. And he didn't lay hands in a good way. He began to choke him. Give me my stuff. And when the king heard about this unforgiving servant, read the Bible, he put him then into jail. He just cast him away. So similar to us today. We want God to forgive us. God, forgive me of my transgression. God, forgive me of my sin. But when someone does something to you, you turn your back on them. You talk about them. You assassinate their characters. Come on, people of God. God requires more of us. So yes, this is a tough sermon. And First Man always tells me, preach it anyway, because the people of God need to hear this. See, I just feel that sometimes we're good with lip service. Hallelujah. We say we are forgiven. We say that we have forgiven someone. But in our hearts, we know we haven't. But this is for your good. It's for you. We all know about forgiveness. So reflect. Now, don't look at your neighbor now because they may know what you're going through. Lord, why is it so difficult for me to let it go? Lord, why am I still trying to get even with that person? Lord, why am I still trying to punish those people? Lord, why? And then sometimes I'm going to give you something just simple, but we're talking about something deeper than this. That you loan money to someone that you know couldn't pay you back. And then when they don't pay you back, oh yeah, you got a word for them and for everybody that you talk to. You know that I loaned him some money. You know he didn't pay me back. You know you can't trust him, but you set yourselves up. You knew he couldn't pay you back or she couldn't pay you back. And then you get into these corners, even at the church, and you tell your deepest, darkest secret to a church member. And then next Sunday, everybody in the church is talking about your deepest, darkest secret. And you're wondering why. Now you have to assassinate that person's character. But what does God say? You must forgive. Yeah, people will hurt you. I know I've been hurt by people. People will disappoint you. Oh, yes, they will. But the Bible says still you must forgive. Mm-hmm. See, I know it can get very tight in here, and I'm trying not to make any eye contact with anybody. So when you do not forgive, we become bitter. Come on, y'all. And we block the transforming power of God to work in our lives. Now you put a block between you and your Savior. And you're trying to get a prayer through, and you're wondering why, but you got that unforgiveness deep down in your soul that you can't let go. Come on, Holy Spirit, help us all grow up in here. Yes, I can agree that people, we know people, do some mean and horrible things to us. See, our society is full of persons, including even the household of faith, who have experienced unforgiveness in their heart because of incest, because of rape, because of infidelity, because of abuse, because of neglect, because of betrayal, because of gossip. But we still must forgive them in order for us to be whole. Because unforgiveness puts you in bondage. Oftentimes the person has gone on with their lives. They're forgotten all about you. But you're holding on to that stuff. And oftentimes too, the person who wrongs you is someone very close to you. very close to you. Turn your world upside down. And you struggle. You just struggle inside. They seem happy, but you're still struggling. They're going on with their life, smiling and joking, but you're still struggling. Could be a family member, a friend, a church member, but you're still struggling. Every time you look at them, your blood pressure goes up. But they seem happy, you all. But you're the one stuck in bondage. God say, forgive them and move on with your life. But if we go back to the beginning of chapter 18, you see here Matthew begins to write in. The disciples came to Jesus. Who is the greatest? Because this chapter in the beginning talked about humility, and we talked about humility yesterday. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So he brings a little child and say that you have to become like one of these little children in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. And as I began to think about that, see, you watch your children play. If they get upset with a friend, 5 minutes later, they're still back playing again. But let somebody do something to you. You hold on to it. And when you're holding on to something, you're in bondage. But Jesus came to break every chain, you all. He doesn't want you to be in bondage. So you must forgive. Hallelujah. You must forgive. And I'm going to try to move on, but I want to talk a little about Brother Joseph. Back in Genesis, see, he had these hateful brothers, you all. They put him in a pit. They plotted to kill him. And his world was turned upside down. He was in prison. He was accused of rape. All kinds of stuff were put into motion because of these evil brothers. But when he met them again, he simply said, it wasn't about you at all. God sent me here to save the people. Forget about all your thoughts about what I'm going to do to you. I've moved on with my life. And I'm living in God's will and God's purpose. And that's what happens when you forgive. Forget about what they've done. Forgive them. Get into God's will and watch God change things in your life. The great Nelson Mandela said this about forgiveness. And he had been asked many times, how did you forgive the people that put you in prison? He said, bitterness only hurts oneself. Oddly, many who are bitter realize that, yet they cannot forgive. See, they know they're walking around all messed up inside, looking good now, all dressed up, but they know they're messed up. So how did Nelson Mandela overcome his feelings? He said this, if you hate, you give your enemy your heart and your mind. So he said, don't give either one of those to your enemy. So they're messed you up inside, and your mind is just twirling around with what they've done to you. Let it go, people of God. See, I don't know who God is talking to. It's not about me this morning. But somebody in this place is in bondage. And God is saying, I want you free. I want you delivered. Let it, whatever your it is, let it go. Don't get stuck in the past. I've taken care of everything for you when I sent Jesus. Church, do not let anyone's behavior block your blessing. Do not let someone else's behavior block your blessing. God is watching. Oh, yes, he is. We could be like Jesus. See, Jesus didn't retaliate. He left it up to his heavenly Father to deal with them. And the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Stop trying to get even with people. When God wants you whole, just stop it. If you've been wounded and deceived, follow this word. Trust God. God can handle it all. And one thing that's difficult, the Bible tells us to pray for our enemies. So why would God say that? Pray for your enemies. And I'm going to try to move on through here, but I just want you to know my worst experience that I had in my heart. As many of you know that my only child was murdered. Now, the person, that murderer, took the most precious gift that God had given me. But I had to follow his word. I had to forgive in order to be whole and delivered and to stand here before you and do his will. I found myself praying for him, praying for his salvation, praying that he would turn from his evil ways. And this is the truth, you all. That God, do not allow him to do this to another family. Pray for your enemies. You will be the benefactor. You will be the one delivered, people of God. But if you hold on to this bitterness, it will cause you stress. It will cause you heart disease. It will cause you blood pressure problems. There was a doctor in Bowie that wrote an article about that. That one of the most challenging things that he sees in his patients is unforgiveness. 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 And they come to him with high blood pressure. Think about your life. They come with heart disease. Subject to strokes because they're busy hating somebody. Let it go. Let it go this day. You've been wrestling with something. I don't know who you are, but God said, let it go this day and trust me. Your mama didn't do what she should. Forgive her and trust God. Daddy didn't do what he should have done as a father, but forgive him and trust God. Your children are acting insane and you want to put them out, but forgive them and trust God. Church members all in the corner talking about you. Forgive them and trust God. So in closing, Jesus not only taught frequently about forgiveness, he demonstrated forgiveness. Jesus forgave the woman caught in adultery. Jesus forgave Peter, who denied him 3 times. Come on. He forgave the criminal on the cross. And Jesus forgave the people who crucified him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So sometimes you have to look at people and say, I forgive you because you know not what you do. But I want to be whole. I want to be healed. I will forgive you. And the ultimate forgiveness story is what God did for us. He knew we were sinners. Y'all were all jacked up, all messed up in your sin. But he sent Jesus, his one and only son, to die for your stuff. Oh, yes, he did. Jesus knew no sin, but he died for your sin. Oh, yes, he did. The Bible says, but while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you got a problem forgiving your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your church member. God knew we couldn't get it right. So he sent Jesus to shed his blood for our sins. Holy Spirit, help me. The ultimate story of forgiveness. Think about your mess. And he forgave you. Think about your life. And he forgave you. He loved you that much. This day, commit to let it go. See, this is the amazing love of God. With all our stuff, he forgave us. Amazing grace, I heard somebody say. How sweet it sounds. That saved a wretch like me. You don't have to look at anybody else. You put that mirror in your face. Amazing grace. How sweet trumpet sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but because of his amazing grace, I see. See, that's why amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my liberty. See, I do not know why Christ came to love me so. But he looked beyond my faults. He looked beyond my sin. He looked beyond my mess. He looked beyond all the stuff I've said and done. And saw my knees. So I shall ever lift my eyes to Calvary. To view the cross. Where Jesus died just for me. You may not know about this, but how marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. I say this to you all, whatever you've done, whatever you're doing, Jesus believed you're worth saving. So there is a time for you to change your life. You are worth saving. Whatever is in there, let it go. He died because he believed you are worth saving. That's all I have to say to you this morning, because God wants us whole. God wants us delivered. So you have to let it go. If you want your prayers to get through, forgive. If you want to be whole, forgive. He loved us so, people of God. He doesn't want you stuck in unforgiveness. He wants you whole. Whatever anybody has done to you,